Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
My cords are all tangled. True that. There we go. That should be a little better. Ah. Do you know how many you need? Bases? Most teams are like 8. Ah. Ha. Yeah, there's always that part of me that like would love to have those and like magnetize them, but that's a lot of magnets. And there's no guarantee they'd actually like hold together that well. Yeah. I might have an extra. I've got a lot of the captains. Yeah. Yeah. Whew. Just in case. Okay. The Zizor? Oh, the, is that the chorus? The Alorane or whatever. Oh, I was thinking that was the one you were looking at. I think that's the Elorane one. Is it Pseudo-chan? The little like roundy guys? Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, that's right. I think there's actually a guide for the Mechanites somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. I had to hold off because I also just got my car repaired. So, a little light on the disposable income right now. I probably do. There's. Yeah. Cool. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. No kidding. Very cool. Yeah, I got your message like after I'd fallen asleep. And I'm like, wow, you were up late. Yeah. Nice. Way to go. Zor. Oh, the robots? The Oh gosh, what are they called? I know it's like some dragon thing is their formal name. Romeo Blue is their captain. Why can't I think of their name? I know I got mine painted up like Hammer Joe's from Mega Man. Nice. Neobots. Nice. Okay. The wild card one. I managed to get my hands on their kind of, quote unquote, old captain. I think when I finally paint mine up, that'll be the one I use. Yeah. The one that, like, they named after an actual person, which apparently that person was, like, not cool. Yeah. I don't know. Probably. Yeah. 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 I'd have to shoot that by Jeff. It might be something where, like, you could, because that technically implies like you could swap out the male players and the female players and use them interchangeably. So if you did, it would probably be more along the lines of like, okay, I'm using this mini. But these are the stat, using the stats of the official team captain. Yeah. Slippery Joe? Yeah. Is it Wrecking Ball? What the heck is the Mecha Knight team captain? I forget her name. Galdo? The guy that's incapable of catching a pass? Ah. Nice. I think I've brute force. That's what her name is. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, the Yeah. Welcome to Dead Zone the podcast, everybody. Yeah, so. Well, so it sounds like they're doing. So they had the announcement last time for kind of their Adepticon show that they were doing the kind of historical matches, which was a really neat concept, which was like, you could basically. They were taking submissions at the time. I don't know if that's still open, but it'd be cool if it was. Of basically like, big historical championship games where you could technically like have teams that are ranked up. I think they even gave a specific number, like 2,000 points, and kind of basically it had gone through a league, and like this was the big premier match that you could then play. So I absolutely love that concept. It is awesome. The new thing that they are talking about was there's going to be a new supplement coming out in 2021, and they're doing more of a details are kind of still kind of sparse, but it is a little different than those historical matches. It's more of like a championship, not league, but a like specific planets that have different either environmental considerations or things like that. I think they're still kind of fleshing out a lot of the ideas that they want to bring to bear. Don't know if it's going to be like just event deck kind of stuff, but definitely intrigued with most likely what it's going to mean is we're going to get some new Dreadball mats. Which is pretty cool. And so I know one thing that Rob had mentioned in his little video cast was the possibility of having that in our tournaments. Actually have the tournaments run through these type of specific arenas. Which I'm Yeah, I think it's going to be like a more fleshed out or expanded upon Azure Forest League kind of thing. And it sounds like it could be geared towards more of a tournament setting, as opposed to necessarily just league type stuff. Yeah. I think it's going to be a great addition. Yeah. 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 I definitely agree there. Dirt Ball is a rock solid game, to begin with. It's a whole lot of fun to play. And having done the tournament scene quite a bit now for the last couple of years, there is a bit of that, like, well, the most unique thing is just who you're playing against, which is always, a factor. But, compared to like Dead Zone, where the tables will be set up differently, and there'll always be these different objectives that you're kind of scoping out for, that kind of variety, I think, really does, spark that competitive spirit and get people thinking in different ways, and makes it a more involved in evolution of the gameplay itself. So I'm looking forward to the supplement. I think it's going to be pretty awesome. Yes. Yeah. Well, I've played the Sphere was my first team that I played, which are a rock solid starting team, honestly. They've been nerfed a little bit since I started playing, for the better, honestly. They were pretty strong. Then I also had the Kalishi team, which was kind of like that was my second main tournament team, and then I've been playing the Rebs to figure out how to play the Rebs. I've done all right. I've had my moments. There's a whole lot of Well, the Rebs do seem to like they rely a lot on luck over strategy sometimes. Because they have some different restrictions, like they don't get two activations per player like everybody else does. So they're a little bit more reliant on Dreadball cards. They can basically take more cards than regular players. So it is definitely a different, you really have to play them differently than any other team out there. But that's fun to me. Like, I like trying to figure that stuff out. Right. I think you might have a wider variety of teams than I do now. I have a lot of teams, but they're like bags of the same teams over and over again. I have so many Judwan packs and Crystone, the Chromiums, and yeah. Yep. And most of mine are in storage right now, so. Yeah. Yep. That is definitely it's one of those things where most teams maybe have kind of two routes you could take them, and they're where they're kind of a lot of them are geared towards one, like your the Green Moon Smackers, for instance, are very beat stick heavy. But you could, stack your team in kind of the other direction and really kind of emphasize on the jacks, there and you know hold back maybe on using more of your brute force as defense rather than offense. It that's kind of the big the thing that'll come from this kind of binary type of system where it's like it really comes down to if you're emphasizing offense or defense. And yeah. So like oh, absolutely. Like Yeah. There's some, yeah. Yeah, and the big like a big contributing factor is because we have like basically three classes of types of players, right? So you have your guards. Yeah, and some teams only have two of those. Or one, as the case is with some of them. As Z's, I think in particular, they're jacks only. Yeah, I think there's another one that's just jacks. There's a couple that are guards and strikers. There's some that are guards and jacks. There are some that are jacks and strikers. And then there's some that have all three. And then there's some that have. Yeah, there's some that can change. I pronounce it Sudochan, but. Who knows? Jeff, leave a comment. Yep. Was it the Chromium? Because their thing is like they transform and can go from the different like they have different modes and you can switch them I think between jacks and strikers I think. Yeah. Metabots. Yeah. Quark, 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 quark. More than meets the eye. No, that'd be awesome. Yeah, the jacks do kind of like fit into that middle ground. They have some options specific to them that really kind of make them stand out from the strikers and guards. Yeah. And the Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then and also like the different abilities that like that's kind of the fun flavor of it is like the stats will always be a little different between teams. I'm sure there's a bunch that kind of have almost identical stats, but then they have different abilities that really affect and give them their own unique spin kind of across the board. And so like what I was saying earlier, kind of that binary play style, it's not hard and fast rule, obviously, because there are teams that like to break those rules and those dynamics. Like the Rebs, for instance, have I think two different kinds of jacks, and so just two different kinds of jacks, and then there's like of them, so that you can play with. So it's just kind of fun. They play a lot differently. Yeah. And so that'll be like that's something with Dreadball. I'd even say is like there will be teams that don't fit your play style, and it'll be difficult to make a team adapt to you, but there's likely a team. Yeah, I think of our buddy Dom, who's tried a bunch of different teams out, but the one that really like worked for him and really well was the Yindage team. Which are predominantly like their stats are rock solid. They have some simple ability, or actually they don't have any abilities. Their stats are rock solid, and yeah, and that works, and they're an incredibly competitive team. So I'm thinking we just need to find you a team that works for you. It might be one of the ones you have. If you'd like us to maybe speak a little bit to kind of teams and play styles and stuff, maybe we can get some guest stars in again, like Crazy A or Lee. If you guys want Jeff back on the show, I'm sure we can get him to stop by. And the unit highlight. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. Gotcha. Yeah, it's kind of like I forget who the last I was showing somebody how to play last, and I had I think it was might have been when we were doing our league games, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna explain to you how to play your team this way, but I'm playing the Rebs, which plays a lot differently. So just kind of, I'm not lying to you at all. I just my team is weird. Yeah. And those guys crush me. But yeah, so if you'd like us to maybe expand a little bit on our Dreadball content, and if you've got any questions, maybe a specific team people would like us to maybe just kind of start the discussion with, feel free to leave a comment and we'll definitely look into it. It's, you know, this is a fun show that we like to adapt to, you know, our listeners. So cool stuff. Yeah. Yes. Sure. Yeah. I did the Titans, which are from Zeta Gundam. They're also kind of bad guys, which worked really well for Maison Labs. So they're yeah, it's something that, you know, sometimes I'll have those moments where I'm just like, I have no idea how I want to paint something. It is literally like, you know, the blank canvas, the empty page kind of thing. It's like, this is a mini, and I have no idea what kind of color schemes go well together. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know if I've actually posted many pictures of them yet. Maybe. I need to do that. Yeah, so I'll post some pictures with the episode here. So I did Gundam for the Maison Labs, but for the mercenaries, the heroes, if you will, of Star Saga, I decided to go with a Star Wars theme. It started many months ago, maybe almost a year ago, when I did Kirby painted as BB-8. And then it kind of took a back seat for a while. I didn't paint much of my Star Saga stuff until kind of getting back into the swing of it now. And so it's a big part. But I've got Erica Dolinsky is painted as Jyn Erso from Rogue One. I've got Ogryn. I've got the Devil painted up as Boba Fett. Ogryn, I've got painted up as Rex from the Clone Wars series, specifically the Rebels version, so he's got a beard, and I included his little helmet there, which is going to lead into me inevitably painting a Forge Father team that's all clone troopers. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And then I painted Elise as Shaak Ti. So one of the Togdrugas, if you're familiar with Ahsoka, like it's her species, so it's got kind of the blue horns? Head things. I think. I forget. There's nomenclature for this because, of course, Star Wars has words for it. But otherwise, like red skin. That one turned out all right. Elise is kind of a tricky model to fit that design pattern on, but I think it turned out. And then the one I'm actually pretty proud of, I was pretty proud of Rex, not gonna lie, like that one. I've got an Imperial Assault Ahsoka, and I just set them next to each other. I'm like, this is perfect. But the other one that I'm really proud of was I painted up Wrath as Maul. So, big ol' red lightsaber. All in black. I gave him metal legs. Figured that was appropriate. And then, I don't think my camera's gonna capture the detail, but his face does have some patterning to it where it's red and black and then some orange for his eyes. So I did try to go kind of that extra mile to make sure I did eyes on all my mercs this time. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ezra and yeah. Yeah, and I think I spoke to it a couple times before when I was doing my Marauders paint job, and some of the other ones that I've got out there, like the doing like anime and cartoons and stuff are put together by professionals, obviously, that have a good, typically good grasp of color theory, and so they'll come up with combinations that you just don't think of, like you know, the original Gundam is blue, white, red, and yellow. A lot of the Zeon forces in there they'll have a kind of olive drab green color scheme, but then they'll have, you know, different colors of uniforms. A lot of their giant robots all have different kinds of paint schemes. Some are blue, some are green, some are black and purple. Like, it's just this kind of weird amalgamation of like these different colors. They're like, man, how in the world is this gonna fit together? And you, it, right, right, and you. Yeah, and you like thinking too, like the Maison Labs, my Titans colors, it's like dark blues and then bright reds, and it's just like, man, these things are gonna contrast so weirdly, but when they kind of they're brought together, you know, they can really work in ways you just didn't think of, so. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I could believe it. And oh boy, did it turn out. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you like to also do like the theme of play, like or you're kind of infamous now for having your goblins only list. Goblin's best friend. Yep, and commando commander, the captain, with two goblins mashed up to be this marauder character. I love that. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You have the horde route, kind of. Yeah. Right. Well, with the Rebs, like it's and kind of to that point too, there's also like the expansions that we've been getting with sub factions, so like the Vault Chasers and the Brockers and the Forge Father teams, which we'll be talking about later. The Rebs have they've just such a variety anyway. But like they've got their new monkey, or the ape, I should say, teams. Yep, the Simian Brawlers, and versus like a Teratons and Rebs kind of. Yeah, the Sphere are very much a very specialized team. Yeah. Like I. Yep. Sphere Lancer is the specialist. And on the model bike. They've got that model. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like lightning strikes and earthquakes. Yeah, same here. But no, that's definitely an intriguing route. It'd be kind of neat to have to kind of work a narrative theme, if you will, into like official tournament stuff. And based on what people get, it's like, okay, you get, I'm doing a lot more D&D lately, and it's like, okay, you get this slip of paper, and it says this piece of information. If everyone had four at the beginning of the tournament, and they had to pick whichever one they wanted per match. That could be really cool. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So if you'd like us to expand and dig a little deeper, let us know in the comments below. Unfortunately, we're a little strapped for time to completely go down there, but yeah, I have two. Oh no. But anyway. Sure. Yeah, it's definitely the Chief Brocker is definitely a really interesting unit. He has gone through a lot of changes since the second edition even started. For instance, back in the day, like his special ability was this kind of odd duck where it was spend a special army. Results after a friendly model picks up an item, you get rid of that item and you get ammo instead. Yeah. And, or wait, sorry, it was pick a new item at random from the unused item token, and they find that instead. I think that then got changed to it turns into ammo. And, yeah. So the yeah, let's break them down. So Chief Brocker is a 1/2 movement, no armor, size 1 guy. And I also just noticed on the picture in the book, a fun little tidbit, there's a dread ball in the terrain. I never noticed that before. He shoots on 5s, fights on 3s, survives on 4s. He's attack tactician 1, frenzy 1, tough, engineer, dismantle. Comes to start with a burst pistol, so it's a range 3 rapid fire, and a forge hammer, so a range fight AP 1. He's got a couple of weapon options as far as got leader, small arms, light melee, and then he's got his campaign upgrades for range, melee, and command. Strike It Lucky is still the name of the ability, but now it's you spend a special army command result. And give the Brocker, give a model with Brocker in its name evade and resilient 1 abilities for the round. He's then also recon 5, total of 26 points or 2 victory points. So yeah. Not much. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine this guy taking down a Strider by himself? With Frenzy 1. And he gets an extra damage out of the gate. Yeah. Suddenly I think it would probably take two swings, but I think the first hit, he's doing damage. That Strider is now wounded. Yeah. 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 And I would throw out there, like, so a big reason why we picked this guy in particular, like, as we're reading off his stats, I'm like, wow, he's sounding pretty good. Why wouldn't anybody take him? I think a big part was that I think he did get a little bit of a stigma from his previous abilities. It had that very specific context. Like, it could prevent a booby trap from blowing up somebody. And you know, the ability to swap out items, like the Reb's commander is still very item-centric special ability, where this one kind of falls into that same category, or did fall into the same category. Now, like, I'm thinking people might have not have realized that his ability got a big update, because now he's falling more in lines of like the Marauder Commando Sergeant. You know, with a lot of these guys out there that have their special ability is people of this type in my army get this benefit, kind of thing, which is fine. Yeah, I think that's really really solid. But yeah, so he's definitely falls into more of the fighty leaders. But he, like, the fact that he doesn't have his armor is kind of a detraction, but he's got tough, which is permanent armor. Yeah, they can't penetrate that. So, you know, he's not going to be much for shooting, but if you can move him across the board fast enough with you know, either some smoke screen or something else, get some other distractions going, he can definitely either be used to hold a location or like we're saying, you know, someone taking a Strider or any of those other big mechs, you know, aren't going to be expecting one little guy to like to get into melee with him. Yeah. And typically the strategy from a Strider player is to walk away from that combat, because typically they can take whatever hit is coming. But you got your yeah, a survival with this guy's fighting on threes. And think of it too, he's got AP1 on his Forge Hammer. So he's doing two damage almost guaranteed that's going through. So he just has to get through one layer of armor and get like one more success. And he's doing, you know, real damage to you. That's kind of nuts. And let's see. Light melee. I was just gonna look at the weapon options. Yeah. And Yeah. Because they got all the armor. But I was just thinking too, like another thing we like to talk about on when we do the unit highlight stuff is like combinations. So he's got engineer, which means that he can work with an inferno drill. So you can have your leader, if you still wanted to hang him back, manning the inferno drill, which is shoot on four, survives on three itself. Jeez. Didn't even realize that. Range 24, AP3 firing platform. The big thing with it is it has to have an engineer with it. Well, you take the engineer leader and you get two for the price of one practically. You don't have to take another engineer to kind of fill that spot. Or you do. Move it around. Yeah. But yeah, so he is definitely, I think he's worthy of checking out if you're looking at playing the Forge Fathers for the first time. And if you haven't, if you wrote him off in the past, I think he's definitely worth another look. Yeah. And a Brocker theme list is just fun. I just think too, you give him you can either keep him with the pistol, or you can bump it up to a Hailstorm rifle, AP1. Like he's not a shooty guy, but you use the rapid fire on him to pin somebody, that's getting you an extra dice. So you're throwing four dice, hitting on fives to try and pin somebody. And then you go in and hit with your hammer? Like, yeah. And we really haven't even dove much into the new special ability, giving evade and resilient one to Brockers for a round. Heck, he could give it to himself. And suddenly, so you give it to himself, you sprint him up the board, someone shoots at him and misses, because you have resilient one. Yep. Suddenly he's moving across the floor. He's moving across the field crazy fast. Yeah, I guess so, man. This, like I said, I'm looking forward to painting up some clone troopers in these in Forge Fathers again. Haven't played them in a long time. Yeah. Right. Oh man, that list is probably gonna be brutal now. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that that's probably a good wrap on cities. Oh, the one last thing that we didn't talk much on Star Saga apart from the stuff I was painting, but I did want to mention that Bradley Prawl has finished doing the whole of Elias Contract, the solo play PDFs, and that's the total that he's been kind of he's gotten permission to do so far. But if you would like to see more of those kind of PDFs put together, let Mantic know, because they're the ones that kind of control that. Hoping so. It's been a long couple of months. But yeah, so hope you all enjoyed the show, the radio show, as it were. We're definitely gonna try and get together next time, so we're in the same location, get some games in, whether that be Dead Zone or Star Sire or even some Dreadball. That'd be a lot of fun. Maybe. It'll be a special episode that you can skip over. All right, well. No worries. Yes. Yes, please. Let us know if you have any feedback or want us to talk to any particular topic on the show. And we'll most certainly do. Yeah. The Dreadball Breakdown, the Dead Zone Secret Mission Tournament. Oh, yeah. Plus, we're inching ever so closer to our 1 year anniversary from taking over the show. Yeah, I think we're just 4 months shy. Yep. Time flies. Right? If you guys want us back next year, leave a comment in the section below. All right. All right, have a good night, everybody.